KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's mostly clear, 12 degrees above zero in Atlantic at 7:07. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Our forecast is calling for it to be partly cloudy today with a high around 39. An informational meeting for persons interested in becoming a volunteer firefighter for the city of Shelby drew about 15 potential candidates last night. The meeting was held at the Shelby City Hall. The Daily Nonpareil reports Greg Martin, a former firefighter with the department, was one of those who signed up. Martin, who served on the department for 6 years, said he had to quit because of his regular job. He said the work firefighters do to save property, including his own at one point in time, is one reason why he wanted to come back to the force. Before the meeting, Mayor Pro Tem Bob Richmond said he hopes the department can be rebuilt soon. He said he talked to several people who expressed an interest in serving. The city is recruiting volunteers to fill the department's needs because the Shelby City Council fired all 12 firefighters Monday evening, and Fire Chief Eric Wendt resigned Wednesday morning. The firings were the result of a dispute between the council and department over funds the department raises. Shelby City Attorney Clint Victor said the fire department kept a separate bank account to hold monies generated by fundraisers, amounting to about $40,000. The money is being litigated between the city and an attorney for the fire department. Shelby is currently relying on the Minden and Avoca fire departments to provide fire protection and is purchasing ambulance services from Medevac in Harlan. The city won't have to pay to receive help from Avoca and Minden because of a mutual aid agreement, although response times would inevitably be longer than for a Shelby fire department. A panel of legislators grilled the state official who was dispatched to defend Governor Branstad's proposal to close the state-run mental health institutes in Clarinda and Mount Pleasant. Rick Schultz, the director of mental health and disability services for the Iowa Department of Human Services, testified before a budget subcommittee on Thursday.
We clearly are having difficulty in recruiting staff. The wards are outdated and they're poorly configured. When I go to those facilities, it causes me concern. There's nooks and crannies, and they're not as expansive, and they're just some challenges there. And there are high costs associated with these facilities.
Representative Dave Heaton, a Republican from Mount Pleasant, countered the costs for caring for patients with acute mental illness are higher at the Cherokee and Independence Mental Health Institutes, which will remain open.
I mean, it's playing in the face of a lot of things here, Rick, and I just, just can't quite understand.
Heaton says there aren't enough psych beds in private facilities in southern Iowa, and closing the two state-run facilities make things worse.
Iowa is ranked fourth worst in the country as far as our mental health services are concerned. We're at the bottom. It's a mess.
Senator Joe Bolcom, a Democrat from Iowa City, says he doubts the agency's claim that many patients who are now being served in the state's mental health institutes can easily find care from private providers.
Creating this rosy picture about how we're going to have all these crisis services as, at the same time we're ripping money out of the system. And it's to meet the bean counters numbers in the basement, Department of Management. They've got to cut money out of this budget to pay for this historic property tax cut.
Other legislators say they're fielding complaints from county sheriffs who are often responsible for transporting patients to the mental health institutes. Representative John Forbes, a Democrat from Urbandale, says it will be a 500-mile round trip for some departments.
What's the human cost to the families of these patients that are now going to be, instead of 20, 30 miles away, 250 miles away? These patients need their families close by to be able to help them get through these very difficult times in their lives.
Schultz, the DHS administrator, counters that many hospitals around the state provide inpatient treatment for severe mental illness. Plus, he said the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics and Broadlawns Hospital in Des Moines will be able to take some patients who would have been sent to the state-run facilities. The DHS expects to shift the elderly sex offenders who are in 24-hour nursing care in Clarinda to private nursing homes. A court ruling is expected in late February on whether Governor Branstad had the authority to close the Iowa juvenile home in Toledo last year. And if that ruling goes against Branstad, legislators say that will dramatically alter the discussion about closing the mental health institutes. The Cass County Board of Supervisors this morning will hold a public hearing on a change of zoning classification for a 3-acre section of land in Grant Township for Alliant Energy. If approved following the public hearing, the land would change from general agricultural to a light industrial designation. The board will also act on the appointment of an administrative assistant for Cass County Attorney Dave Wiederstein, as well as the abatement of property taxes or property located at 307 Michigan Street and owned by in the city of Oneida. In other business, the supervisors will receive a report on the Secondary Roads Department five-year bridge construction program and a quarterly report from the County Veterans Affairs Director. That meeting begins at 8:30. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office is investigating a burglary of the United Farmers Mercantile Cooperative elevator in Villisca that took place during the nighttime hours of Wednesday into early Thursday morning. Officials say someone unknown gained entry into the building and removed an undetermined amount of cash. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Montgomery County Crime Stoppers at 800-434-1001. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning on KJAN, Lafayette Eichelberger, age 90, of Avoca, died Sunday at Mertu Medical Center in Harlan. A memorial service for Lafayette Eichelberger will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the United Church of Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Joanne Peters Hall, age 81, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Greenfield Manor. A celebration of life service for Joanne Hall will be tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. And Jim McCumber, age 80, of Manila, died November the 5th as the result of an automobile accident north of Dunlap. Funeral services for Jim McCumber will be held on February 20th at 10:30 a.m. at the Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila, with Odie Funeral Home of Manila in charge of the arrangements. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements this morning on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.